Just want you to know right now, that was good. Great job, guys. I like those little moving things you did in there. A little amen on the end. That's pretty good, too. I liked it. How many of y'all liked it? Did you like it? I liked it. Did you like that? Were those clarinets? Right? Did you like the clarinets? Those are good. How many of you liked that little thing on the end on that guitar? That doo-doo. Wasn't that cool? Doo-doo. Did you work on that a long time? That's pretty impressive. Burns did good, didn't he? Did real good. Those sideburns got to go here in a few days, don't they? School starting. How many are you looking forward to going back to school? Isn't that exciting? Woo! How many of you guys are going back to college? I mean, it's here. If you go back to college, how many of you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend at college? All right. Just one of you. What's wrong with the rest of you? Okay, you got a fiance, don't you? That's right. How many days? 142 days. She's getting married. And counting the days. All right, take your Bible, this final message tonight, and let's look at the book of James. All right, James chapter 1. Find the book of James chapter 1. It's right after the book of Hebrews and before you get to the book of Revelation, obviously. James chapter 1 in your Bible tonight. We've had a good week with y'all. It's been worth our trip out here, and how grateful I am that you listen so well. Let the Lord work in your heart. And I enjoy camps like this one, because of the preaching I get to hear. And a lot of times I go to camp and I do all the preaching, but I enjoy being able to hear Pastor Tice, and I also enjoy hearing Dr. Jackson. I always find his messages helpful and a blessing. And my wife said Mrs. Jackson did a phenomenal job today. Was that true, ladies? And I know you enjoyed hearing her. I didn't get to hear her, but I heard she was good, and I've heard some things about it. And certainly I enjoyed Pastor Matt, didn't you? And he's been a great blessing. Pastor Matt has been a friend of mine for a long time. And I don't know really if it's that I'm a good preacher or if it's just that I'm a good friend. And either way, I'll take it, because I'm glad to be here. And I sure enjoyed the message last night too. Wasn't that good? By Pastor Redland. And I tried to do that voice today, you know, that no, but I couldn't get it. And that was great, just great. I've enjoyed the week. Lord worked in your heart? How many of you got saved this week? I know a couple of you did. This week you trusted Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I'm thrilled about that, and how I rejoice about that. How many of you made a very definite, you know, something in your life? You said, I'm going to get that out of my life. I know it's got to go. How many of you are like that this week? Can I see your hand? How many of you say, you know, there's some things I got to do when I go home that I haven't been doing, and I'm going to do it? Let me see your hand. How many of you are like that? All right, a lot of you. The Lord worked in your heart, and I'm so thrilled that He did. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about the danger of forgetting. Now, God's worked in our heart, and He's worked in our life, and if we're not careful, the devil wants us to go home, and he wants us to forget it. Let's begin reading in verse 21 of James chapter 1. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that a great phrase? Superfluity of naughtiness. You want to say it? Doesn't that feel good? I mean, spit it out there. Superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that good? What in the world does that mean? Somebody tell me. What is superfluity of naughtiness? Anybody got an idea? Come on. Where's my Bible college, guys? How about you, sons? You look it up in your Bible? You look it up in your Bible, didn't you? You got a Scofield, don't you? Is yours a Scofield? Because that's what mine says right over here. Yep, that's what I thought. It means overflowing of wickedness. It means things in our life that ought not to be there, and they just get bigger and they grow. And here's what he says we ought to do about them. We ought to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hey, have you heard a lot this week of the word of God? Have you heard a lot? Answer me. Sure. Now you got to go to do it. That's what he's saying here. Be doers. And then in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. How many of you go to school with somebody that may look in the mirror, but it doesn't help them? You got anybody in your class like that? Now, the Bible says there's a danger in our life of looking into the mirror of the Word of God, and it doesn't change us. We see who we are and we don't change anything. And then look here, please, at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, say, continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to just talk to you here about the danger of forgetting. Have you ever forgotten anything important? How many of you have ever forgotten to do your homework? Let me see your hand. You ever forgotten? How many have forgotten to study for a test or a quiz? Ever happened to you? Don't you hate that? How many of you have ever forgotten to put on deodorant? I think a few of you today, I smelled you at dinner. I think a few of you did. I was early in revival work. Josh and Abby, my oldest two, were pretty young back then. And we only had two kids in those days. And I remember one night we were in Paducah, Kentucky, and we left this revival. And I do not anymore drive all night. I used to preach on Friday night. I'd drive all night, all day Saturday, and get to my next revival. And I'd do that, man. I'd drive all night, you know, in the middle of the night. I'd struggle to stay awake and maybe stop and get a Mountain Dew or a coffee or some such and get going, you know. But, man, I can't do it anymore. I can't drive all night. But I did this one night. By the way, the reason I quit driving all night is the last time I did it, I was in North Carolina, and about 3 in the morning, I got pulled over, and this state trooper thought I was drunk driving, so... I thought, you know, I need to quit driving all night because that's not drunk driving. That was sleepy driving, I guess, because I wasn't drinking. I can promise you that. But maybe get off the road, maybe spend the night at an RV place. I was pulling my RV. But this particular night, I was driving all night, and we pulled into this RV park, not this RV, this truck stop in somewhere in Kentucky. And it was in the middle of the night. It was dark outside. You know, it was kind of quiet, not a lot of traffic. And as I pulled in to the truck stop, I remember very clearly a motorhome and a little car, like a brown motorhome and a little white car, they were pulling out. So I'm pulling in, and I watch this motorhome, it's pulling out. And I didn't think anything about it except, you know, I got out and putting gas in my truck, or diesel fuel, I guess, and I was putting the fuel in my truck, and I was just standing there. Nobody else was in the parking lot, this big truck stop, but it's quiet, it's the middle of the night, you know, you hear a few truck engines, truckers are sleeping. But I'm out here pumping fuel, and my wife goes in with my kids to use the restrooms and maybe get a snack or something. And so I'm just pumping fuel, and all of a sudden, I looked way over on the porch of this convenience store, and a lady came out on the porch, and she caught my attention for several reasons. One is she had a T-shirt on that said, Jesus Saves. Well, I noticed that because, you know, I'm a preacher. And so I thought, that lady's got a nice shirt on there. And the other thing I noticed about her, she had on culottes. How many of you know what culottes are? You know what culottes are? You know, I immediately knew a few things about her. The only people I know that wear culottes are very conservative Christians and NBA stars. And so I knew she was not an NBA star. I mean, I knew that. No way. And so I was watching her, and she had culottes on. She had a Jesus Saves shirt on. And the other thing I noticed about her was that she looked puzzled. In fact, she's still on the porch, and she just kind of looked around the parking lot like, what in the world? And it was just the strangest thing. In the middle of the night, this lady, you know, she's just looking around, and after a few moments, she started walking through the parking lot. I was the only person in the parking lot, and she's kind of walking towards me. And she got close to me, and I actually went around my truck on this side and down the side of my truck in my RV. She came out on the back side of my RV, and she stood in the parking lot looking around in the middle of the night. It's dark outside. I'm the only one out here, and she's just looking around. Jesus Saves on her T-shirt, culottes on, and she's just looking around. And I said, finally, I couldn't stand it. I said, excuse me. Can I help you? She said, you haven't seen a motorhome pulling a little car, have you? And I said, well, there was one pulling out. It was like brown with a white car. It was pulling out when I was pulling in. She said, that's my husband. He forgot his wife at a truck stop. Now, I'll tell you right now, that will not help your marriage in any way, shape, or form. I found out that he was actually a Church of God evangelist. They had been in a revival preaching, and they were going home like we were going home. I'm a Baptist evangelist. He's Church of God, and I found out he left his wife. So I gave him my prayer card or my business card, and I said, I do marriage counseling. You're probably going to need it. So I gave it to them. I don't know what happened. That was back, you know, kind of before we had cell phones. I mean, I had a cell phone in those days, but it was like a bag, and you plugged it into your truck, and you put it in the floorboard, and, you know, and it was like, you know, like a suitcase. That was before, you know, they had these little cool little flippy things, you know, and texting and all that. And I had a cell phone, but she didn't have one. Here she is alone at this truck stop. And I don't know if he ever came back together. I mean, as far as she said, actually, she was asleep back on the couch in the motorhome, and he stopped to get fuel. So she went to the ladies' room, and while she was in there, he got back in, and I guess assumed she was still asleep on the couch and left her. Now, you know what? It's a big deal when you forget. And I want to know what I want to tell you tonight. That here's what the devil wants to happen in your life. The devil wants you to leave camp and go home and forget what happened here in this place. And you know what will happen if you're not careful? Many of you will. But James gives us some steps on how we can prevent that from happening. Now, I won't be long tonight, but let me give you 3 points here, all right? Look in verse 21. You see verse 21 again? You got your Bible? Sit up straight now. This will help you stay awake. I know you're tired. It's been a long day. Let's get 3 points in our week as God. Number one, look at verse 21. Here's what we got to do if we're going to go home and live what God told us to live. Number one, we've got to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, we've got to clean it up. We got to clean it up. We got to get these things out of our life. We got to lay apart filthiness, things that are dirty, that are messing up our life, that are cluttering up our life. And we've got to get the things out of our life that overflow and become the wicked things in our life. We've got to clear them out. How many of you agree that there's some music to which we should not listen if we're going to honor God? How many of you agree with that? All right. How many of you know back home there's some music that's got to go? All right. Here's a verse for you. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I got a text recently from a young man. Then I talked to him recently about his music. And what happened was I picked up his MP3 player. He's with me and I picked up his MP3 player. And I said, let me see that. And I picked it up. And he said, hey, that wouldn't be a good idea. That wouldn't be a good idea. And I said, why not? He said, well, there may be some things on there that I wouldn't want you to see. I said, oh, really? So I looked. And he was right. There were some things on there that he didn't want me to see. But I helped the Lord to convict his heart about that. And he deleted 3.2 megabytes or gigabytes or some kind of bytes. He cleaned it up. And he said, well, what am I going to do with all my CDs? There's a lot of money in those CDs. And I said, well, that's between you and the Lord. But if I were you, I'd just throw them away. I'd break them. I'd scratch them. I'd burn them. I'd shoot them. I'd eat them for breakfast. I'd do something with them. But you got to get rid of them. And so he texted me the day and said, just FYI, I threw away 59 CDs today. Now, that's a lot. You know what he did? He laid apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. There's some of you got to do the same thing. Isn't this a simple little verse? Now, the Lord's talked to you, but tomorrow afternoon or tonight or tomorrow sometime is where the rubber meets the road. Okay, what you going to do about it? So the Lord spoke to you about things on your computer. All right, what you going to do about it? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. How many of you agree that there's some movies I can't watch if I'm going to be everything God wants me to be? How many of you agree with that? Raise your hand, good night, all over the building, if you agree with that. All right, so what are you going to do about it? Somebody says, well, you know, my mom and dad watch things that I know I shouldn't watch. All right, the next thing time they do, then go to your room and read your Bible. Don't be rude to your parents. I mean, don't be like, super Christian with a cape and a big C on your chest. And Mom and Dad, I'm a man of God. Turn it off. I wouldn't recommend that. If you're my kid, I'd probably shoot you. And your parents would probably do that to you. Well, see, you don't have to do that, but the truth is, you can say, you know what, Mom and Dad are watching this, but I can't. I can't anymore because I want to do what's right. And so go read your Bible in your room. Go listen to a Christian CD. Go honor God in some way. Go witness to somebody. Go out and witness to your neighbor. See, listen, there's some movies you can't watch. There's some video games you can't play if you're going to honor God. Would you agree with that? How many of you would agree with that? Would you agree with that? All right, here's what the Bible's saying. Okay, now look, God's worked in your heart. Now here's the next step. Here's what you got to do when you get home. Here's what you got to do this coming week. You got to lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. Based on what Mrs. Jackson said to you girls this morning, my guess is that some of you would have some clothes you can't wear anymore if you're going to honor God. My wife talked to me about what she said. I was like, wow, she just kind of laid it on the line, didn't she? I mean, she just like, boom, gave it to you, didn't she? Well, you know what? She loves you and she's right. So maybe there's something back home and maybe you know what? When I wear this, I know that it's slinky and sexy and it's drawing attention to my body in a way that's not honoring to God. It doesn't mean you have to look like an idiot. You don't have to dress like a little house on the prairie person. But you ought to be covered and clothed and full enough to honor God. It ought to be high enough. Don't make your youth pastor have to get his wife to come talk to you because of the way you dress. You got a brain. You got a Bible. You got a mirror. So you know what? I can't wear that anymore. See, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. Isn't this a simple little verse? It's where the rubber meets the road. How about this one? There's some friends I can't have. How many of you agree that there's some people you can't hang around with if you're going to honor God with your life? Raise your hand, good and high. All right, what you going to do about those back home? All right, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do the next time they say, hey, come over, we're going to have a little party tonight? Say, I can't come because you know what? I'm a Christian and I've decided that I need to live for God and love God and serve God. And, you know, as long as you're living that way, that's not how I live. That's not how God wants me to live. And I can't do that anymore. See, that's what the Bible's saying here. Get it out of your life. Clean it out. Get it out of there. There's some friends I can't have. There's some clothes I can't wear. There's some video games I can't play. And here's a big one. And I want to park on this just for a few moments. There's some internet sites I can't visit. if I'm going to honor God. Y'all agree with that one? And boys, we need to really park on that one for a few moments, because when Dr. Jackson had you bow your head and close your eyes this morning, he told me afterwards that about 3/4 of you raised your hand that you've seen things on the internet you shouldn't have seen. And you know it. You know it was wrong. And you know that you can go back home just as easily and keep it going. But the Bible has a command for you. The Bible's command is lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Get it out of your life. That's what he's trying to say to you. Clean it up. Clean it up. Change it. Make a difference. Do whatever you got to do, but let's take care of that. Let's go public about it. Say to Pastor Matt or Pastor Chris or Pastor Bullock, say to them, look, you know, I really struggle with this, and I want you to ask me next week how I'm doing. And I hope they'll ask you. I hope they'll say to you, You do what's right this week? Did you honor me this week? Are you doing what's right this week? Are you right with me this week? I hope you'll do it. Look at me. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. There is a parallel verse to this. Hold your place in James 1, okay? And turn back just one or two pages and look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 is a parallel verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Say the phrase, lay aside.
Lay aside.
Okay, say it one more time. Let us lay aside every weight. Say the word weight. And the sin. Say the word sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now look at me tonight. Look at me. This week God's worked in your heart about many things. It's Friday night. It's our last message together. Our last service. A few hours you'll be heading for home. In a few hours some of you'll be home. Some of you'll be home tomorrow. My family and I will be home on probably Monday sometime. But now look at this. Look at this. Here's a simple little verse. And the verse is saying, what are you going to do when you get home? All right, God wants you to run the race now. Man, the Lord's worked in our heart. He has, hasn't he? And so let's go running. Here's what we've got to do. If we're going to run the race and be everything God wants us to be, any weight in our life has got to go. Any sin in our life has got to go. You know what a weight is, don't you? A weight is that in your life which holds you down, or it actually pulls you down or holds you back. Have you ever learned that? You need to learn about a weight. A weight is that in your life which pulls you down. You ready? What's a weight? It holds you back. See, it may be something in your life that's not necessarily wrong. I mean, it may not be the most wicked, filthy, godless thing, but there's something in your life. And you know what it does? It just holds you back and it pulls you down. You know what the Bible is trying to show us here? We ought to get rid of that too. It may not be wicked, it may not be wrong, but it certainly is not helping me to serve God. It's not helping me to love God, and then I need to get it out of my life. That's what he's trying to tell us in our first step here. I've got to clean it up. I've got to change it. I've got to get it out of there. I know you may have seen me do this illustration, but let me just show you that, all right? Let me see here. How about helping? Would you help me? Burns, come on up here. And let's see. Pastor Chris, I'm going to need you. And Pastor Matt and Brother Brad, I'm going to need you three. Would you guys come up here and help me just a moment? And I want you to stand right over here, and I want you to notice this. Now, here's remind me your name. I know it's Smith, but what's your first name? Andrew, so I won't call you Burns. All right. Andrew. Here's Andrew, okay? Guitar man, all right? Now, Andrew's free right now, and he can serve the Lord, and he can honor God with his life, and God can use him. But you know what happens in a lot of guys' life like Andrew? He allows weights to come into his life. And so he gets the wrong kind of music, and so I want you to get him right there. I just want you to be his weight, all right? And so he's got this baggage. Now he's got the wrong kind of music in his life. Do you see that? Come over here, Pastor Brad. And I want Brother Brad, I want you to get him right here. And let's say he's got lousy friends. See, here's a guy with all kinds of talents. He can pick a guitar, can he? Isn't that cool? He can do it, can he? And he can he? And on top of that, he can sing and even smiles while he sings. Have you all notice that? You know, some people just sing, thank you, Lord. He goes, thank you. Really gets into it, see. So here's all the talent in the world. But I want to tell you something. This talent is of no value if he's got lousy music in his life, because there's a weight in his life. And it may not be, maybe it's not heavy metal. He does not listen to AC/DC. No heavy metal. Highway to Hell. He doesn't listen to that. But you know, he's just going to listen to maybe just Christian rock. You know, it's better than AC/DC, but it's still very sensual and very fleshly, and it doesn't draw him closer to God. It draws him closer to the world. So he's got music in his life. He's got friends. And maybe his friends aren't the most wicked people in the world, but they joke about things they shouldn't joke about. And, if given the chance, they'd try alcohol. Or in the locker room at school. You even go to Christian school, don't you? in the locker room at school, they'll joke about, you know, guy stuff that ought to be private, but they go public with it. So he's got lousy friends. Come over here, Chris, and you gotta be the, you know, hold him back. All right, don't hurt him. Just don't hurt him, but see, hold him back. Maybe he's got, I mean, what all kinds of weights can a guy have in his life? It could be the wrong kind of movie or the wrong kind of music or the wrong kind of friend. It could be, let's let Brother Chris hear, it could be a girlfriend. And, you know, now honestly, answer me, is it the end of the world if a guy dates a girl? No, but it can hurt him spiritually, can it? Is it the end of the world when a girl dates a guy? But you know, a lot of you have a little girlfriend or boyfriend back home, and you're in love. Oh, hubba hubba. You're in love. But it's not helping you at all. You don't serve the Lord because of it. You don't love God any better. In fact, you don't pay attention in church because you sit together. It's like, her arm touched mine. They do that, don't they, Pastor Matt? You know, teenagers, don't they do? They sit there in church, and their little arm touches you. They're like, he touched me. It's no help. Now, here's what the Bible's trying to say to us. In James 1, he says, look, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And in Hebrews 12, he says, get rid of every weight. Clean it out of your life. You just got to get rid of it. So if you got lousy music in your life, you got to say, okay, God. No, turn him loose. God, I'm done. I'm done with that, and I'm going to go home. I may have a lot of money invested in this. I spent 99 cents on that one and 99 cents on that one, and I downloaded that, and I downloaded this, and I bought that. But you know, it's got to go because I want to be free to serve you. And there may be a friend in your life that you've just got to say, God, this friend, you got to say to that friend, I'm done. You and I cannot be friends. If you're going to talk that way, and you're going to act that way, and you're going to live that way, you and I are finished. And it may be that you have a girlfriend. And let me just tell you, if she looks like this, you ought to get rid of her. Isn't that the truth? It's the truth. That is the truth. Especially if she has facial hair. Now look at me. What is it in your life? You're going home tonight, some of you. How many are going home tonight? Going home tonight? All right. How many are going home tomorrow? You're going home tomorrow. Now look at this. How many of you, when you go home, know in your life that there's baggage, there's weights, there's even wickedness? You will go no farther when you get home until you take care of those things. That's the first step. How many know something you ought to take care of when you get home? You know you ought to. Let me see your hand. Okay? Now, let me ask that again. How many of you know something you ought to take care of when you get home? Let me see it again. All right, now look. Here's what the Bible is saying. If you will do it, you're meeting the first step to success. Make sense? All right, guys, you can have a seat. Here's the second one. This will be brief. All right, I'm almost done. Here's number two. What's the Bible telling us here in James chapter 1? Go back to James chapter 1. What's the Bible telling us? Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. If you understood that, say, I got it. All right, here's number two. Lay apart was number one. Look into the Word of God is number two. Isn't that what he's trying to say right here? Isn't that what he's trying to say? Look into the Word of God. He says that in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Where does our relationship with the Bible start? In looking into the Bible. I got to get in it. I got to get in it. I got to do it. I got to get in here every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. I need to be in the Bible. Now, you don't have to read a chapter every day. How many of you think you could find time to read one verse every day and meditate on it? All right, if that's where you need to start, start there. How many of you really thought, if I really wanted to, I could read a chapter every day and meditate on that? How many of you think you could read a chapter every day if you really wanted to? I have no doubt you could. See, it's just a matter of doing it every day, every service. I need to look into the Word of God. Don't you do it. Don't you go to church without your Bible. Don't you do it. Take your Bible, take notes, and take a pen. Take a notebook, take your Bible, and take a pen, and sit up on the front row like Pastor Matt suggested. I mean, get up. Maybe you can't sit on the front row, but get up close. Get up close. Go to bed early on Saturday night. Don't sit up and watch stupid stuff on TV and get up Sunday morning, and you're all tired, I got to go to church, you're all miserable and grouchy and service, you barely stay awake, and you're nodding off, and you hate it. Listen, shame when you go to bed early and get up and get to church on Sunday morning and sit up front and look into the Word of God. Look into it and enjoy it. You say, well, if my pastor preached like Brother Redland did last night all the time. Well, Pastor Redland always preached like that, does he? Come on, Front Range, does he? He doesn't always preach and no. He doesn't always preach like that. He's a pastor. He's teaching you the Bible. So if my pastor always preached like that, I'd pay attention. No. Listen, isn't it true that some meals are better than others? How many of you ever had a gourmet meal? You ever had a gourmet meal? How many of you in Vegas know Angelo, Brother Angelo, Demo Santos? Y'all know Brother Angelo? Brother Angelo's taken me out to eat a couple of times, and the guy took me out to eat once at this restaurant, and I think he paid more for my meal than I cost. I was like, what in the world? I didn't know a meal could cost this much. Well, that was a wow meal. I was like, whoa, that was an incredible steak. Remember that one night Pastor Matty took us to that steakhouse, and we were just going to get a salad. My wife and I, we were going to get a salad. But if y'all know Angelo, you don't tell Angelo you're just going to have a salad when he takes you out to eat. He's like, oh, no, you're not. My wife said, no, Mr. Demo Santos, I just want a salad. He said, little lady, I'm going to order for you. And she ordered her like a 12-pound filet mignon. And he ordered me one too. Okay, 12 ounce. All right, I stretched in there a little bit. Ordered her a 12-ounce filet, and we ate it. And it was like, you know, midnight before we got out of there. It was an incredible meal. But you know, if you ate like that every meal, that'd be tough. If every meal is like a gourmet, you know, five-course meal, that'd be a little tough. Most of us don't eat meals like that, do we? You know, what do you eat for... You know, what do you eat for, you know, breakfast most mornings? Cornflakes. It's the breakfast of champions. If you're Dave Young, I love cornflakes. See, some meals are just normal. Listen, not every day are you going to go to church and it be like, whoa, what a phenomenal sermon. But every day you go to church, you're going to hear the Word of God, and it's going to work in your life if you'll let it. Every time you go to the church, hear the Word of God and enjoy it and take notes and say, you know, God, that's good. I learned that. That helped me. How many of you often go to church without your Bible? Can I see your hand? How many go to church without your Bible sometimes? Let me see your hand. Come on. Okay, that's got to change. That's got to change. My Sunday school teacher when I was a boy was named John Hamby. John Hamby was like 6'9", and he had a long nose, and he had really dark eyes, and he never smiled. And he was our Sunday school teacher. And we had little seats. You remember the little seats you had when you were in elementary school and Sunday school, the little tiny seats you had to sit on the ground? They were really low. We sat on these little seats, and he stood to teach us in this tiny little room. And all of us junior boys would sit in his Sunday school class, and we'd get like crick in our neck, you know, looking up at this guy while he taught. And he'd teach us, and I don't know why he was the junior teacher, but he was. And he'd always look at us, and he'd teach us really, and he'd look down his nose at you, you know. And, you know, it was awkward. I mean, it really was. He'd look at you. And one night, I'll never forget, I don't remember anything about the guy, but I do remember this one thing. He's teaching one Sunday morning in Sunday school, and he leans over and he says, boys. You know, we're like, yes. He says, boys, going to church without your Bible is like going to school without your pants on. And our little boys are like, whoa, wouldn't do that. I've never forgotten that. So you're not dressed for church, you don't have your Bible. See, look into the Word of God. Do it every day. Do it tomorrow when you get home. And do it Sunday. And do it Monday next week and Tuesday and Wednesday. And do it every morning before you go to school. Get in the Word of God. And can I just make a couple of suggestions to you about it? Visualize the Word of God. Visualize it. Do you ever visualize like the story of Gideon? Have you ever heard the story of Gideon? Gideon was all scared. I don't know that I can do this. I don't know. God wants me to attack the Midians. I don't think I can do it. And so Gideon says to his pal, hey, let's go down there beside the Midianite army in the dark and maybe kind of see how they're doing. And they get down there next to the Midianite tent, and they overhear these two Midianite soldiers talking. And the one says, I had a dream last night. The other one says, well, what'd you dream? And he said, I dreamed this loaf of bread fell out of heaven and killed all of us. That's in the Bible. You can go look it up. I dreamed a loaf of bread fell out of heaven and killed all of us. And you know what the other soldier said? That to me was enough. The other soldier says, oh my word, he said, that's Gideon. We're going to die. Now you visualize a loaf of bread falling out of heaven and killing all the Midianites? You ever gone to Walmart and taken a loaf of bread and hit your brother and killed him? Boom! Whoops! Mom! Well, that's not possible. That's what the Bible says. Visualize that and enjoy the Bible. Enjoy reading the Bible. Read those stories. Read about David and Goliath and enjoy it. And you know, when the Bible says David shouted for the battle, think about your team here at camp. He's just like you. He just shouted for the battle. Kill him! Woo! He's into it. Enjoy the Bible. Find humor in it. One of my favorite verses is Judges 4:21. The Bible says, Jael, the wife of Heber, took a nail. It rhymes. Jael took a nail And she went softly unto Sisera. He was running from his enemy. And he ran to her tent and he's scared. He asks if he can hide in her tent. And she lets him sneak in there. He goes over to the corner of her tent and he hides and he falls asleep. And the Bible says, Jael, the wife of Heber, took a nail. Jael took a nail. And she went softly unto Sisera. And she took that nail and she drove it through his scalp and fastened his head to the ground. And the Bible says three words. So he died. And every time I read that, I'm like, well, no kidding. I think I'd have died too, wouldn't you? See, enjoy the Bible. Don't think about, oh, you know, we got to read our Bible because preachers, we got to read our Bible. Here we go, got to read our Bible. Oh, my goodness, here we are reading our Bible. My brethren, here I'm reading my Bible because I'm spiritual. Okay, I can check that off. Aren't I spiritual? That's not what God wants in your life. Enjoy it. I was 16 years old when I bought a Bible just like this one. It was black. It was a Scofield. It looked just like this. And it had one of these little markers in it. In fact, this is my devotional Bible that I'm holding here. And every day I read at least one chapter in the Bible, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes a whole book, but at least one every day. Every day since I was 16. And I mark it. So this morning I read 2 Chronicles chapter 1. That's what I read this morning early. And I marked it. And I'll be on 2 Chronicles chapter 2 next. So just read. So I don't always understand it. Don't worry about that. Just keep reading. Yeah, but I don't always enjoy it. Well, just keep reading. I don't always enjoy every meal. You ever had a meal you didn't enjoy? I had a lady in Haiti serve me pig's foot soup. I don't know that I enjoyed that, but I ate it. Y'all ever had that Russian borscht? Borscht. Be something. It's full of cabbage and beets. It's pink because of the beets. And it's full of cabbage and they cook it all day. I've eaten that many times. I don't know that I've ever been like, whoa, it is great. But I've eaten it. And it was good. I learned. Listen, look into the Word of God. Am I making sense or not? Are you going to go home and get in the Bible every day? All right, it's time. Okay, here's the third thing, and let's be done. Go to James chapter 1 here, and look. Number one, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. If that made sense, say, I got it. Look into the Word of God every day, every service. Visualize it, enjoy it. If that made sense, say, I got it. All right, then here's number three. Live the Word of God. Verse 22, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. In verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Don't forget it. Don't forget. God's worked in your heart this week. Don't forget it. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now look at me. How many of you want the blessings of God when you go home? Okay, here's how to have it. Live the Word of God. Live it. Live it. Love it. Enjoy it. Live it, live it, live it. What do I need to do, brother? Well, just think about the things we know we ought to do. How many of you agree that if I'm going to live the Word of God, I've got to honor my parents? Does that make sense? All right, so get at it. Go home and get at it. Now, it may be that your parents are not like, our family is like yes, ma'am, yes, sir kind of family. No, ma'am, no, sir kind of family. Not every family is that way. So it may not be that you need to go home and say yes, ma'am, to your mother. But maybe you've asked your mom about something and she gives you an answer. Maybe you don't like it. Here's maturity. Maturity will say, okay, mother. Okay, mom. If that's what you think, that's what I'll do. Here's the world response. Great. You just don't understand me. Every time you do that, you're acting like a child. Do the Word of God. It's time to grow up. Do you know there's only two classes of people in the Bible? There's not babies, toddlers, children, tweenies, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, old adults, and dead. There's not. In the Bible, there's either children or adults. According to God, when He looks at you, every one of you, you are either a child or an adult. And one of the ways to recognize which you fit into is how you respond to your parents. That's maturity. When you can, see, anybody can be happy with their parents when all is well. Right? When you get your way, do what you want. But what if mom and dad don't let you do what you want to do? Here's whether or not you're mature, is if you can handle that. Okay, mom. Okay, dad. That's what I will do. I will do that. because I'm going to honor you because I'm a Christian. Do you tell your parents you love them? See, live the Bible. Live the Bible. Keep yourself clean. Honor your parents. Keep yourself clean. Now, teenagers, go overboard to keep yourself clean. Clean is important. You agree with that? I like clean sheets, don't you? I like clean clothes. You like clean clothes? I like clean food, don't you? Don't you hate when you find hair in your food? Don't you hate that? Don't you like a clean fork? You ever gotten a fork that had somebody else's food on it? It's not right to eat food you haven't paid for. So I won't eat off of that kind of fork, will you? I like a clean toothbrush. Don't you like a clean toothbrush? Did you ever hear the story about that little boy? Dad said, go brush your teeth, son. Get ready for bed. And he goes to brush his teeth, and he's in there forever. Dad says, I better go check on him. So dad goes in the bathroom to check on his son, and his son is in the bathroom with daddy's toothbrush brushing the dog's teeth. Dad said, son, you can't do that. He said, Dad, I've been doing it for 2 weeks. Now that's gross, isn't it? That's bad. Now look at me. Clean is important. And it's important to God. It's important to God. Y'all with me? I know you're tired, but are you with me? Clean is important. And some of you are borderline. You're not in a wickedness, but you've just got some dirt in your life. Clean is, live a clean life. And go overboard about it. Brother Matt preached yesterday about being concerned about others. Are you there? That's living the Bible. Go on soul winning visitation. Talk to the kids in your school. Give your life for others and reach out to others and talk to others and try to bring people to church and talk to your family and pray about it and work on it and try to see somebody saved in your life because of you. See, live the Word of God. Live the Word of God. We haven't said much about this week, but consider giving your whole life to serve the Lord as a preacher. Or maybe in some form of ministry. Ladies, we believe with all of our heart, according to the Bible, that God doesn't call ladies to preach. We believe that, and we can prove that biblically. But God does call ladies to serve Him sometimes as a single person in some amazing capacity in the kingdom. I've seen that. I've seen ladies who've started orphanages and won hundreds of boys and girls to the Lord. But my heartbeat is primarily for you guys tonight as we close the week. Boys, one of the great needs of our generation is young men who will take a stand for Jesus Christ, who will keep their life clean, who will consider the ministry. A calling of God. Now, God calls. He calls different people in different ways. Somebody says, well, now, does the Lord speak audibly? I have a pastor friend named Dr. Johnny Pope, and when he was asked the question, does God speak audibly, here was his answer. No. He said, God speaks louder than that. Now, you think about that, because he was right. You won't hear God's voice, John, preach my word. But God will speak to your heart. He'll put it in your heart. I want you to preach and serve me. And I want to go one step farther and say, it'd be okay to volunteer. Isaiah did. The Lord had a conversation with himself, Isaiah 6 tells us, in which Isaiah heard the Lord speaking, and the Lord said to himself, who will go for us, and whom shall we send? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord. Send me. I love that. It's not like God is saying, Isaiah, I want you to preach my word and be the great prophet Isaiah and prophesy the coming of Jesus Christ so graphically and in so much detail. No, God just says in the presence of Isaiah, he says, boy, who'll go for us and who'll preach my word and who'll be a great prophet? Who can I send? And Isaiah says, pick me. Come on, pick me, I'll go. You know, guys, there's a lot of things you can do with your life. God doesn't want all of you in the ministry, but there may be one or two of you he does. He wants you to preach. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to be an evangelist. He wants you. He's looking for somebody who will say, God, I will. I don't think God's going to force you to preach. I don't think he will. But I think God delights in taking young men like you guys here on the front row. Maybe one of you. Maybe two of you. Maybe all of you. And he puts his hand in your life. It's amazing what God can do in a young man's life when he keeps his life clean, loves the word of God, and serves the Lord in the ministry. It's amazing. And teenagers, boys and girls, we need it. We need young men that'll give their lives and say, God, if you'll use me, I'll serve you in the ministry. You don't have to decide that tonight. You don't have to say, I'm going to do it. Because you're 14 or 15. You don't have to decide that tonight. But you ought to be willing and say, God, you know what? I'm going to start leaning that way. And if you want me to do that, you make it clear to me and I will. Isn't that simple? You don't have to stand up tonight and say, I'm going to preach. So that everybody in your church goes, yes, he's going to preach. And find out 3 years from now, that's really not what God wants. You don't have to do that. But it wouldn't be a thing wrong tonight with saying, God, I know there's a ton of people that need to be saved. And I sure would love to be used of you to help see them saved. And God, if you don't want me to preach, then you let me help anyway. Because you can join a church and be a soul winner in your church and try to win everybody in your town to Christ. Even if you're not a preacher, you maybe got to let one of you be very wealthy. How many of you could handle being wealthy? You think you could? All right, let me give you a piece of advice, and I'm done. If God lets you make a lot of money in the years to come, you know what I suggest you ought to do with it? Give it away. I mean, live modestly. Let's say you make $1 million. How many of you think that you could live? If you tithed $1 million, you gave $100,000 to the Lord, how many of you think you could live on $900,000? Let me see your hand. You think you could? How many? Really, honestly, you serious about that? All right, how many of you think if you gave half of it to the Lord, $500,000, you could live on the other $500,000? How many of you think you could? You know what we do in our generation? We have a lot of people in our churches that make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they give a little tip to God and blow the rest of it on themselves and things that are of no value eternally. Teenagers, there's nothing wrong with having nice things and having nice cars someday maybe and wearing nice clothes, but if that's all your life amounts to, someday you will end your life with no value at all. But if you said, Lord, you give me $1 million and I'll give most of it to you and I'll keep all I need to live on. Buy a modest house, drive an older car, wear normal clothes. You don't have to buy the most expensive clothes in the world and just give it all to the Lord. See, God could use you. Give it to the Lord. Give the Lord $500,000. Give the Lord $600,000. If all God gives you is $2,000, give the Lord $500 of it. See, give it. Just give your life. This is living the Bible. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said you can keep your life and lose it. Or you can lose it for my sake in the Gospels and you'll find it. This is living the Bible. Teenagers, give your whole life. Go all out for God. Go home and love God. Go home and live for God. Go home and honor your parents. Go home and be a soul winner. Go home and prepare your life to serve Jesus Christ. Go home and keep your life pure and clean. Go home and take a stand for Jesus Christ. And by God's grace and God's help, when I see you next year, if I do, I'll see a young man or a young lady who's not the same as they were. They're a mature Christian, growing in the Lord. Amazingly so. And that's what we covet for you. If I've made sense, say, I got it. All right, now close your Bibles and your notes and look at me, and I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight as we close this service. It's going to be a simple invitation. I'm not